السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته كما تحب ربي وترضى. السلام عليكم my dear brothers and sisters. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings on His noble messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His noble family, His companions, and on all those who love him and try their best to follow him in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to his remembrance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let our hearts divert from the path of obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never bring doubts in our hearts about the truth. Today, bi-idhnillah, we are going to discuss together and study together Surah number 83 from Juz Amma, which is called Surah Al-Mutaffifin. So Surah Al-Mutaffifin, according to the majority of scholars, is a Makkan Surah, all of it. However, there are some narrations that are attributed to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that this Surah was revealed in the early Medinan period. When the Prophet ﷺ got to Medina, he found that people were cheating in trading, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this. However, if we look at the history, the traders were in Makkah and the agriculturists were in Medina. But again, in Medina there was also some trade because dates was bought and sold. So others have said that perhaps to reconcile these two different opinions, that part of the surah, the first four ayats, were revealed in the early Medinan period after the Prophet ﷺ got there. And the rest of the surah was revealed in Makkah, because we have examples in the Quran of many surahs that were revealed in portions, some here, some there. So that's the probably the best way to reconcile the differing opinions. And it's not that critical, because the style of the Quran in this surah is more of a Makkan, because it deals with Iman, and it deals with the Akhirah, and it deals with some of the issues that the opponents of Islam were bringing and putting forth. So the style of the short ayats is also Makkan, an indication that it was a Makkan surah. Anyway, with that introduction, we will start the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Waylul lil mutaffifin alladhina idha iktalu 'alan nasi yastawfun. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. So let's deal with these five ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wail. Wail, as we have mentioned before, there are different interpretations, but the word wail generally means something that is cursed, something that is to be destroyed. It's absolute destruction. So wail means absolute, it's a curse that an absolute destruction is coming on the what is mentioned after that. There is another opinion that wail is actually a valley in Jahannam for the people who are mentioned after this. And it could be both. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this wail is used in many places in the Quran, wailul lil mutaffifin. So the word mutaffifin is used here for the first time. Taffafa, from which it comes, means to practice cheating by shortchanging others. While when I am purchasing something, I demand to get all of it for myself, even the smallest quantity. For example, if somebody is weighing dates for me and the scale goes up to the 2 kilos that I want, but it's just shy of it, and putting one extra date will make it go quite a bit, I still say, put that extra date for me. I want my full measure. But on the other hand, when we are measuring to give others, we shortchange them. We give them little less. So this small amount of cheating in business, this is what mutaffifin, people who do this regularly, that they will cheat others regularly in commerce, in business, for little gain, little gain. Even if it's for a few grams. So they are, in a way, they are defrauding people. Now, some of us might say, well, Alhamdulillah, I'm not a businessman, so this doesn't apply to me. But there are implications because we can extend this to other occupations. For example, I am an hourly worker. I'm being paid by the hour. And I cheat my employer by using my time in doing personal things, taking long breaks, taking my time for salah, taking off early to work, spending time on my phone, checking my emails and Facebooks and all of that, and letting the time that I am supposed to work be used in other things. So I'm shortchanging the one who is paying me. So this is another way of the same being a mutaffifin. And we can extend it out into other fields in generality. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, one day he saw a man praying in the masjid, and when he was finished, he said that you have done taffafa, you have shortchanged Allah because your sajda and your ruku were not done properly. They were, you cut through them, you shortchanged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did not give him what his due is. So then we can then extend it more into our own professions, people who are in the service industry. So if I am a lawyer or a doctor and I'm supposed to provide a certain amount of service and I don't, or I charge more hours than I have put in. Also, it can be extended into cheating people out of their rights, such as the rights of Allah, that I skimp on my salah. I get through it very quickly. I don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his full due. Now I'm skimping, shortchanging the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had a contract of nikah with my wife. She had certain rights on me. I have certain rights on her. Either of us is not giving the full right of the other. Cheating, for example, the children of the rights that they have on us. And we can extend this. So this is not, although here it specifies a merchant who is buying and selling, measuring and weighing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that even the small degree of cheating, which you say, well, it's not a big deal. I'm not doing a big Ponzi scheme where I'm looting people of billions of dollars. But if I'm cheating someone of 5 cents worth, it comes under the category of mutaffifin. I'm doing it knowingly, I'm doing it consistently. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, curse be. May the destruction be on one who cheats. Now, if this is the situation for a small amount of cheating, just imagine how big it would be for a greater degree of cheating. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although this meaning is embedded in this word of mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on in the next two ayats to explain it so that there is no confusion about it. When he says, who are these people? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْقُونَ, that when they measure to take from people, they are overly aggressive in demanding what they get. Normal structure would be اِكْتَالُوا مِنَ النَّاسِ, from taking from people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using word عَلَى النَّاسِ, means they are very aggressive in demanding, no, I have to have my full share. So, yastawfoon means to take in full measure. So this is when I'm taking. But then the next ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ, and when they measure to others, وَزَنُوهُمْ, they weigh some merchandise to others, يُخْسِرُونَ, make them undergo a loss. They cause a loss by giving them less. They diminish, they decrease it, they shortchange it, even by a small amount. So this is the characteristic of the person. And this is a symptom. Why does this person do this? Because logically, he's not going to get wealthy by a little bit here, a little bit there, cheating people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he does for us a root cause analysis. Why does this person do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala, nay, yadhunnu ulaika annahum mab'uthun. The root cause is, yadhunnu, he, ala yadhunnu, does he not think that they themselves will be mab'uthun, raised up in the hereafter, for the day of judgment? In other words, this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, does he not think? In other words, he thinks he's not going to be raised for a day of judgment. He doesn't think that he will be held accountable. He thinks he can get away. Nobody knows. Because there is no real belief that there is someone watching me, that I will be held accountable. So this is a symptom of their wrong thinking, that they will not be accounted for, that there is no day of judgment. So you can take that and turn it the other way, that a real belief, the arkan of iman that we have, one of which is belief in the day of judgment, it should produce a positive change in the character and actions of a person. Because a person who truly believes that I will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even the smallest things will be there, would not do that. So the fact that they are doing this is a sign that they don't really in haqiqah believe that I will be held or they will be held accountable. Therefore, the sign of real iman is how we interact with people in trade and everything else. It's not just about claiming that, yes, I believe. Because if we truly believe, we would not shortchange anybody in any of their rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, they will not be raised again, mab'uthun liyawmin azeem, on a day with great azeema, of greatness, an awesome day. And the word azim comes from azama also, which means bones, something that's very strong, very severe. And we know the day of judgment is a very severe day. And there are some descriptions of that that will come after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What day is this? يَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. A day يقوم الناس, where mankind will stand. Where are they going to stand? Last week we had said that Allah is going to level this earth completely. Level ground, no mountains, no valleys, no shade, nothing. They will be standing. All of mankind from Adam alayhis salam till the last child that's born will be standing in one level field. How? By the command of Allah, through the blowing of the second blowing of the sur, the trumpet as it be translated, people will come out in an adult form from the ground, wherever their tailbone was, as the hadith says. They will stand up and they'll be rushing there to the day of judgment. In what shape? In the shape that they were born in originally. What clothes? None. No clothes. Originally, like we were born, men and women, without anything being removed, will be there with no clothes. No place to stand, like we learned last week in Surah Inshiqaq. No place to move. When Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha heard this, she said, Ya Rasulullah, men and women standing naked? In feeling that haya, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, that day is so severe, with so much awe and fear, that no one will even care to look at anyone else, because they'll only be worried about themselves. So we have to be very, very prepared that this day is coming. Who will we be standing in front of? لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately for the day of judgment, after a long standing, the hadith tells us, where people will get so fed up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the sun in its form, it's called the sun, 1 or 2 miles or meal above, and the heat will be such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people will be sweating from it. Their sweat will be down to their ankles, to their knees, to their waist. Some, in one hadith, to their ears. They'll be drowning in their sweat. And it will be so severe that the kuffar will say, start the day of judgment, we can't take this anymore. And in some narrations, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the day is like 50,000 years. It means it's like a long time, nothing that we have any clue about. Because everybody will be taken to account. No shade, except when the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is brought down by 8 angels. Because there is a significance of that too. Normally, 4 angels, you know, carry the arsh of Allah. On that day, there will be 8, as the hadith tells us, because Allah is going to be angry that day. And 4 angels are not enough to handle that arsh, because of the impact of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend in his own way to start the day of judgment. So, on that day, nobody, if you believe in the day of judgment or don't believe, it's not a matter of choice. It is everybody, whether you believed or not, will stand in front of Rabbil Alameen. In the dunya, we had a choice. You want to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night? You can stand. You never want to stand, you don't have to stand. You can choose to bow in ruku, you can choose to prostrate in front of Allah in sajda, or you can say, no, I will not. On that day, there is no choice. The choice is only in this life. Amr on that day, yawma idhin lillah, only for Allah. The command is only Allah. So we will all stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who does not believe that will act in ways of disobedience, will act ignoring all of these. And if we say we believe and we still do this, then there is a problem between what we are saying and what our heart believes. So then after this misgiving, this wrong thought, yadhunnu, they thought that there is no such thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates all of those wrong ideas that there is no accountability by saying kalla. Kalla means denial of all of their misgivings, all of their wrong thoughts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not at all. This is not the case as they think. In other words, there is definitely a day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna kitab al fujjari lafi sijjin. Wa ma adraka ma sijjin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, surely the record, the kitab of the fujjar, the record of what? Of their deeds. Scrolls recorded of every word written in bold, large writing that cannot be edited, and every action from small to large, whether it was done openly or done secretly. Every penny of cheating, every milligram that was shortchanged related to this trade is recorded in the book by the recording angels. And for the fujjar, which is the wicked people who were rebellious, who transgressed, who sinned, who burst out, fajr means to burst out, of all the norms in violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, violating all the restrictions, the haramat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, restraints, violating, not caring about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, the records of the kitab, of the fujjar, that kind of person, of a sinner, is in a safekeeping which is called sijjin. And the word sijjin, the root is sijjin in Arabic. Sijjin means prison. Now, where is this sijjin, where this record is kept? We don't know. There are different opinions. Some say this is in Jahannam itself. Some say this is in the depths, the seventh deepest level of the earth, which itself is like Jahannam, because that's where the molten lava comes out from. It is kept somewhere in a prison vault, if you will, because of the word sijjin, which is a narrow dark space, as the scholars have said, by the angels. And keeping, having a record in this place called sijjin, is already a condemnation that this person is going to Jahannam. If my record, may Allah protect us from all of that, if a person's record is in sijjin, that means the verdict of Jahannam has already been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what do you know about sijjin? Would you that knew? Ma adraka ma sijjin, what sijjin is? I mean, it's a scary thing. Even where the record is kept is scary. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun marqum. It's a record, it's a book. Marqum has multiple meanings, means it's inscribed. Like when you see stone that's been inscribed, it's also used for something that's embroidered, something that's written, if you will, with a permanent marker. Why is that marqum? Because it cannot be edited. It cannot be changed. It cannot be rubbed off. It cannot be erased. It's a permanent record. And another, it can also mean that it's actually catalogued and numbered, raqam. That every single thing is there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, every single thing is in this book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere, like on every Friday we read Surah Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوُدِيَ الْكِتَابُ, and the books, the kitab, will be laid open to see. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, and the mujrim, the criminal, will look at it with fear. What is in here? وَيَقُولُونَ, and they will say, Ya waylatana, oh woe, wail on us, same wail. Mali hadha al-kitab, what kind of a book is this? La yugadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. A book It's amazing. It has not skipped even the smallest nor the biggest, except it is in there. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find in it everything that they did, right in front of them. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anyone in the least. There will be nothing there that we did not do. Nothing there that we did not see. Nothing there that we did not hear. Nothing there that we did not say. There's nothing there that we did not touch. Whatever it records is accurately recorded there. Cannot be changed. So if a record of a person is in Sijjin, it is an announcement of doom, of a horrifying end, the perdition, hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And this ayah comes many times in the Quran and elsewhere. وَيْلٌ, again wail, destruction, jahannam, on that day, to al-mukadhibun. Al-mukadhibun or means those who not only kadhib, kadhaba is to lie. Kadhaba means to deny. They are related. Al-mukadhibun, those who denied the truth. What kind of truth? They denied the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied the risala, the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They denied the day of judgment. They denied the Quran as Allah's revealed word. They denied it and they called it lies. They ignored it. They ridiculed it. They strove against it to prove that it is wrong. In other words, the ultimate of disbelievers who not only just said, okay, I don't believe, but they made an effort to deny it and go against the Quran. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here specifies that these are the ones who denied the day of judgment by their tongues. That's the most obvious. But others who claim that they believe, and this we may, some of us may be guilty of it, or by their actions, acting as if they would not be taken to account for the ultimate judgment, and people who consider themselves above the law because of their connection, because of their power in this dunya, because of their wealth. Anyone who does those things thinking, I will not be caught, is really has a serious problem of iman in yawmiddin. In their own form, yukadhibuna bi yawmiddin. They are denying the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing who these people are, he says, وَمَا يُكَذِّبُوا بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. And no one other than those who are كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Every sinful transgressor. مُعْتَدٍ اِعْتَدَى means to transgress against the rights of others. Violate the rights of others. So they committed sins against others. Athim means they were sinful in the sense they didn't have any inclination towards any goodness. Even when opportunities to do good presented themselves, they did not care. So not only they violated others, they didn't do anything that could be taken as sort of, let's take this as a collateral, I'll do some good. That's why we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He teaches us the meaning of which is, every time you sin, follow that up with a good deed. You know, because it can be used to negate that. Not only, it's not a free license to sin, but if by mistake, by weakness, you do something, you do tawbah and you follow it up with a good deed, like charity or helping somebody or something like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that these are the people who deny the day of judgment, who, because they are transgressors, they are sinners. And what is the sign of this transgression? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. that when Allah says, when إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا, when our ayats, the Quran, is recited in front of him, recited to him, he says, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. He ridicules it. He says, oh, these are fairy tales. These are just tales, you know, made up stories, myths of the old people. They used to talk. You know, we are in the 21st century. We are technically advanced. You believe in all of this, you know, nonsense that there is a day of judgment, that there is a hellfire, and there are gardens there, and there is a fire there. These are just stories of so-and-so nation got destroyed and the wind destroyed. These are all stories. So when these ayats are recited to them of the past nations, of the future that's going to happen, of all of these, they ridicule it. And some of the narrators have said that some of these, the asbab un-nuzul, the occasion of revelation, may be related to one of the arch enemies, the avowed enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person by the name of An-Nadr ibn al-Harith, who used to frequently say this. Whenever he heard, he said, oh, asatir al-awwali. But this holds true for all of the Abu Jahals of the time, of that time, and the Abu Lahabs of those time, and the Abu Jahals and Abu Lahabs of today. And we have that today. If you go on the internet, you will find many sites that are making fun of the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Quran. There, the Islamophobes have analysis of the Quran and taking proportions of the ayah and making fun of same thing, asatirul awwaleen, different format. Now, why is this person doing this? Why is he not seeing the truth? Why is he not recognizing this as revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his salvation, for it, to help him, to guide him? Why is this happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the cause of this attitude? Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying, kalla. This is not the case. These are not stories of the old. This is the reality. Kalla means absolute deny, annihilation of this idea. What is the cause? Bal rana ala qulubihim. Ran means an impenetrable veil, a thick black coating. Ala qulubihim, around their hearts. Ma kanu yaksibun, from what they earned. What they earn means the kind of actions, the evil, the sinful acts that they have done has covered and surrounded their hearts so that no light of guidance can penetrate. So no matter what signs are brought, they will say, I don't believe. Therefore, their ability to see the truth as the truth has been taken away. They're blinded, blind of the heart. Maybe not still seeing with the eye, but blind of the heart. Can see the truth, can see falsehood as falsehood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who see truth as truth and falsehood as falsehood. Ameen. Ma kanu yaksibun. And this is not for any other thing, but this is a law of Allah, that every time you sin, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that most of you know, that every time a person sins, a black nukta, Sauda, a black dot, is put on the heart. But if this person does tawbah, it is removed, it's cleaned. But if he continues to sin, these black dots continue till the heart is blackened. This is the example he gave us. And that is what the ran is, that covering around the heart. And because when that happens, then no matter what happens, the person will not accept the truth. So, with this, they in reality are sort of blocked from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot see. They cannot see the signs of Allah in the universe, nor the revealed work, the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah, which is the Quran. So what will be the consequence of this blindness of this in this dunya? there is consequence of this in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. No, indeed, they will be veiled by a barrier which does not allow them even a glimpse of their Lord on the Day of Judgment. You were blind to the signs of Allah in the dunya, you will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, because you don't deserve. The person who was blind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they put a barrier on their hearts by their sinful acts and disobedience. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will compensate them with a barrier which will prevent them from seeing their Lord. They refuse to see Him in this dunya, so they will not be permitted to see Him in the akhirah. Now, what is this? There is a bashara, a good news in this ayah. There is an ishara. There is an indication. What does it mean? Because you were blind to Allah's commandments, you will not be able to see Him. It also means that if you did not have that barrier in this dunya, if you saw Allah's ayats and you believed in Allah, then you will see Him on the Day of Judgment. So this is indirectly telling us that the opposite of it is also true. And this is a bashara, a glad tidings, that we will, inshallah, see our Rabb on the Day of Judgment. And this is a essential belief of our Sunni Muslims, Ahlus Sunnah wa Jama'ah, that everyone will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers. In fact, some of the companions, the Sahaba, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, say, Ya Rasulullah, will we see our Rabb? Look at that excitement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them an example. He says, on the Laylul Badr, when the night of the full moon, where there is no clouds, do you see the moon? He said, do you have to strain to see the moon? Do you have to come? It's obvious. He said, you will see your Rabb as clearly as you see the moon. Subhanallah. Not only that, the seeing of Allah, the witnessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest of all sights. This is the greatest of the rewards of Jannah. Because when the ibad will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the Jannah will become meaningless for that time. And again, there are levels. Some will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once. Some, like if we can say in our time, monthly, some annually, some weekly, some daily, and some, depending on the level, every day, whenever they want. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and this is the interpretation of Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, that we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this ayah is an indication of that. And there are plenty of ahadith that support this belief. So not only will the disbelievers going back, those who are mahjub, hijab, have a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, what will then happen? ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. After being deprived of this greatest of all rewards, of the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be made to enter and roast in that jahim, that blazing fire. So look at the ultimate of reward and look at the ultimate of failure. And then once they are put in Jahannam, then there is more. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that He will address them. Allah says يُقَالُ. This is a passive form, means it will be said to them. The sound will come to them, whether it's the angels or some other. So it's unknown where the sound will come from. But in a way, it's also telling us, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive them of seeing Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers them such filth that they are even deprived from hearing him. So sound will come to them, and what will that sound say? Addressed, they will be addressed by the sound, هَذَا الَّذِي, this in Jahannam, this is كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ, what you used to deny. You denied the day of judgment, you denied the hellfire, here you are. Now that's a terrible thing that anyone who hears that, this is what you used to deny, Jahannam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after addressing the mutaffifin and the fujjar and the people who have run on their hearts, lightens, gives us the opposite picture. Because giving the opposite sometimes enhances the other scene also to see the contrast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla. No, in contrast. Inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin wa ma adraka ma illiyun kitabun marqum. The next seven ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the honor and pleasures that will be enjoyed by the abrar. Abrar is the plural of people who have birr. And birr comes from, root is also bar. And some of you know bar and bahr. Bar is for land. Bahr is for ocean. So bar is steady. Bahr keeps changing. So those who were steady in their belief, steady in their righteousness, the birr, abrar. Now there is another subtlety in this, that this form of plural abrar is called jama'qilla. It is a plural, but not of a huge number of people, but few. That the abrar are not going to be billions. We already know from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that out of every 1,000, 999 are destined for the fire. So you already got 1 out of 1,000 going to Jannah. And then among them, there are levels. So there will be few abrar, muqarribun. I think we studied this in, we have not studied yet Surah Waqiyah, but Allah mentions that from earlier generations, there were many more. Later generations, there will be few, the muqarribun, who are really brought close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the record, the kitab, now it is the opposite. The kitab of the fujjar, the rebellious sinners, was in Sijjin, the prison account. The account, records of the abrar, the righteous, those who were stable in their righteousness, is in something called illiyun. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا illiyun. What is Alliyun comes from ulu. Ulu means something that is the highest of the most high. That Allah has kept this record up, as opposed to the sijin in the depths of the earth and the fire, in the highest of heavens. So the scholars have said that this record is kept in the seventh heavens, close to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the ulu. And some have said under the arsh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what will tell you about the status of this? Because in this is kept the permanent record of the righteous. Here is what you might call, you know, the gold medals that are going to be put on the necks of the people who are going there. That this is what is awaiting the righteous believer. This is it will have the assigned places in Jannah for them. You know, the books that are given to them, that will come in there. Right hands, as we studied in the last surah, the book of the in the right hand and the book behind in the left hand behind the back. Kitabun marqum, again inscribed, so that nothing can be erased, nothing can be edited, because nothing will be lost of their good deeds. Yashhaduhul muqarrabun, it is witnessed by those who are muqarrabun, the angels who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not any angels. Muqarribun, they are guarding these. It is in their custody, because this is what is going to be given to the believers. the registers in the highest, containing all their noble deeds, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already destined, will enter Jannah and the different levels of Jannah by His mercy. They are witnessed and they are guarded by the angels that are closest to Allah, kept safely. Nothing is lost, nothing is misplaced. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, that's where the record is, and what will be the consequence of this record being there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes fast forward through, He doesn't mention the day of judgment for these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the abrar are immersed. They are surrounded everywhere by na'im, in all direction with delight and joy and pleasure, which we have no idea of, because we know some pleasures in this dunya, which we feel pleasurable. Allah has given us a taste of that, which always come to an end in the dunya. But there, the pleasure does not come to the end. The pleasure is multiplied by a factor of infinity in its true sense. Lafi na'im. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying there is na'im for them. He's saying they are indeed immersed, means everywhere there is delight. It's not just something in front of me. Lafi na'im. Alal araiki yandurun. They will be on, as we mentioned before, on these elevated thrones or special couches with lot of canopies and cushions, in the most comfortable, ennobled, honorable places. Yandurun, looking around, enjoying the scenery. Everywhere, what they see, every sight has its own pleasure. And they keep changing, so there is no monotony. Everywhere they look, there is na'im. Why? Because they restrained their glances in this dunya. They restrained their desires in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now take. There is no restriction for you. Those who did not will taste the opposite. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another description of these people. He says, ta'arifu fi wujuhihim nadratan na'im. Ta'arifu. You will recognize them. Arafa. Because of what? Wujuhihim, their faces. Nadra. Nadra means glowing, resplendent, illuminated. Nur. Why? Because of na'im, of the enjoyment, of the joy that they are feeling. Sometimes we see in this dunya, we have glimpses of somebody who's had such a great happy news. You see the joy on his face is glowing. Because of all of that, their faces will be radiating with joy, and there will be a special nur and glow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives this nur to people of that type in this dunya. And sometimes when you see a truly righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a wali of Allah, a real obedient person, you feel people with qalb, they see nur in him. They said, there is nur. That's only hearts that can perceive that. Because that's for everybody else, it really looks like anybody else. But they perceive that nur. On that day, there will be nur. Now, there is another ishara in this. There is another bashara, good news in this. Because the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used here, He says, ta'arafu. You will recognize them. And who is this Quran coming down to? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you will recognize them. What does it mean? That you will be in their company. So it's a bashara for us that if we are like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize us. That means we will be with him. But it can also be used for those who come later, that Allah is telling us that we will recognize everyone who reads the Quran with it. Will recognize those who have been blessed with this nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nadratan na'im, from all the joys. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yusqawna min rahiqin makhtum. and they will yuskauna, they'll be given to drink, they will be served, and we have descriptions of who is going to be serving them, that creatures that Allah has created, they'll be going around in circles serving them a drink called rahiqin makhtum. Rahiq is something that is the purest of nectar, the purest of a drink, wine, if you want to call it. But wine, we have bad connotations with wine because it intoxicates. So it's mentioned elsewhere that that does not intoxicate. It's a pure drink that does not intoxicate, the like of which has never been tasted, or we cannot even imagine, because it's the most exquisite. This is what Allah has prepared for His chosen servants. Their description that its taste is unique. Everybody tasting it will taste it differently according to their taste of what they like. And that taste will keep changing. It's not going to be monotonous that, okay, I've had enough, I want some. Every sip will taste different. And it will evoke the most pleasurable of tastes in them. Makhtum, something that is sealed. Khatam, khatama means a seal. It's just exclusive. The bottle has not been opened, it's sealed. Created exclusively, one-on-one. This is for you, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you remember, I think we covered in previous surah that on that day, Allah Himself will serve, will give to drink. So imagine that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khitamuhu misk. And what is sealing this? The seal of this khitam is misk. Misk is the musk, the beautiful, unique fragrance of the musk of Jannah. We have some musk here, which is used in perfume, but this is the musk of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us samples of things here, so we know, we can relate with it. But it's not going to be anything like this. It's something very, very unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, actually the sealing of this drink is made of this beautiful fragrance. Then there is a key word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ. And for this, in that, remember what Jahannam said, هَذِهِ, this is what it is that you denied. Here Allah says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ, in what has been described of Jannah, in this matter, in this competition, let those who compete, let those who strive compete with each other. The nafasu means something like nafasa, breathing in and out, something coming this. The nafasa means you're running, someone ahead, someone else is ahead, someone else is ahead. So compete. وَسَّارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ Allah says, وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, compete, وَسَّارِعُوا وَسَّابِقُوا, move ahead, strive. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, you want to compete? Don't worry about the dunya. Let people compete for this. It's very temporary. Compete for this, what Allah is promising you. The key is to strive to compete with each other for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's rewards, for Allah's, the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who gets there? Those who tried. So this is where we as believers have to put our competition. We want to compete, not in wealth and jobs and how much of I have of this dunya that Allah has written. Compete where it will count, where it will be yours forever. There is no inheritance in Jannah that you die, it will go to somebody else. Everything here is inheritance, except what you have used. Everything else belongs to your inheritors, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except what you ate, what you wore, what you used, and what you sent for the akhirah. Everything else is not yours. It's your inheritors, and it's Uncle Sam. Okay, so strive. Doesn't it make sense? Strive for that which is permanently yours, and which has got no comparison with this. The greatest of joys and blessings of the dunya is going to be like less than dirt in front of what's in Jannah. Which doesn't mean that we should be thankless for what Allah has given us here. But the real competition is for that. Then continuing with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this drink. He said, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيمٍ, that this is a mixed drink. Now here we have mixed drinks in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this rahiq that is makhtum is also a mixed drink. It's mixed with mizajuhu. What is mixed in it is something called tasneem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the next ayah, عَيْنَي يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. It is an ayn, it is a stream, it's a fountain, it's a river of Jannah. In some narration it says this, tasneem starts from the arsh and comes into the Jannah. It has special water. It's blessed, it's unique. And in this drink that we are drinking that's sealed, tasneem is mixed with it. It's not saying it's all of tasneem, some tasneem is mixed in it, and that makes it so wonderful. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that tasneem is for the muqarribun. أَيْنَي يَشْرَبُوا بِهَا الْمُقَرِّبُونَ. The muqarribun, those who have achieved the highest level of closeness to Allah, can drink from the stream itself as they wish. It's not giving a little mixed in something. They can be there and drink as much as they want. Muqarribun. Again, this gives us impetus to compete even more. I don't want to be just believer who enters the lowest level. I want to be among the abrar. I want to be among the muqarrabun, the one that's the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the competition that we need to get into. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after describing all of these to entice us, to encourage us to compete in the right competition, Allah switches back to the disbelievers, beginning of what the disbelievers' attitude is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. That what is their attitude? For example, in the Meccan period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their attitude, أَجْرَمُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them the ones who are criminals. Ajramu comes from jurm. Jurm means crime. Those who were habituated in transgressing and committing crimes against Allah, the criminals, the mujrimun. What about them? Inna ladina ajramu kanu mina ladina amanu. When they encounter the believers, what do they do? Yadhakun, they laugh at them. They ridicule them. They make fun of them. Hey, look at these people. They have achieved nothing. They're nothing. They've got dreams of the hereafter. So every time they see them, they ridicule them. This is what the kuffar of Makkah used to do to the believers, because they were poor, because they were saying that we believe in what's coming in the hereafter. They would ridicule them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And when they pass by them, for example, in the streets or around the Kaaba, they yataghamazun, they ridicule them. And how do they ridicule them? Yataghamazun means to use eyes for expression, such as we use, like we roll our eyes or we wink. You know, they wink at each other. Look at these guys. Look at these losers. They believe in Day of Judgment. And they have nothing, and we control everything. So every time they would pass the believers, they would look at each other and wink at them, at each other. Look at these guys, make fun of them, or roll their eyes, that sort of thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is what they used to do. This is how they ridiculed them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ أَهْلِهِمُ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. When they go back to their ahl, to their families, to their people, to their folk, they go back, fakihin means happy and gleeful and joy, because they're making fun of the believers. So they're in such a good mood, they're passing them, they ridicule them, they make some comments, oh, you know, raghead, Today they say, oh, raghead, look at this raghead, look at this brown camel jockey, look at this so-and-so, you know, the Islamophobes. And they wink at each other. And then they go home and they're laughing, they're happy. Look at these guys. So this is one scene Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us of the kuffar of Makkah, and the same by extension of what the Muslims face in some hostile societies, whether it's, you know, from people of the belief of the book, or it is from the polytheists that we are still being people who believe are being ridiculed. Oh, they dream of 72 virgins, they'll make fun of this. Oh, they believe in this, they believe in gardens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make fun and they're happy. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ. And when they see, whenever they see the believers, they say, هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ. These people, these Muslims, these believers, they are indeed the ضالون, those who have gone astray. They are fools because they're not with us. We are the successful, we are in power, we have wealth, we have worldly success. They are failures. They're losing out. Why? Because they're led astray by this man they claim to follow, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they are indeed the dalloon. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. Yet Allah says, these disbelievers in Allah and His message were not sent as the guardians over these people. They were not sent to make verdicts over them. They were not sent to guard them, to guide them, to say, okay, you know, come with us. It is not their responsibility, it's not their job. Yet they continue to ridicule them and pass judgments on them because they are not the guardians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, kiram and katibin, you know, our guardians are the angels. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about that in previous surahs. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again switches back to the final portion in the last three ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the reality. This is what they are laughing about. On the contrary, the haqiqah is that on that day, when these who are being ridiculed will enter Jannah, and the other ones who are ridiculing them will enter Jahannam, the roles will be reversed. The scene will be just the opposite. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَالْيَوْمَ. On that day, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed, مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. They will be, the believers will be laughing at the disbelievers. Just like the disbelievers laugh at the believers now, on that day, the believers will be laughing at them. Whoever laughs last, laughs best, as is said, right? And where will they be? عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Same ayah is repeated. On their thrones, with their canopies, with their cushions, looking around, and they will also be looking down in Jahannam at these people and laughing at them, having the last laugh, smiling. You used to laugh at me, now look where you are. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends by saying, هَلْ, asks a question. And this question is then asked to the believers. هَلْ ثُوِّبَتِ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ, ثُوِّبَ from ثَوَاب. Have the disbelief, the kuffar, been justly rewarded, given the ثَوَاب. Allah uses the word ثَوَاب in a sarcastic way instead of saying punishment. Have they been appropriately and fairly and justly given the ثَوَاب for what they used to, مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ, for what they used to do? This is a it's a question for what they used to do of evils and ridicule. Have they been given the reward? This question is being asked. And the reward is what? Jahannam. The reward is Jahannam. Using the word reward because it says thubwiba instead of punishment, adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to call it thawab because this is a day of justice. And this also brings us back to the beginning, that not one gram, not one penny should be cheated. And on the day of judgment, Allah will not do injustice, penny's worth or a gram's worth or a milligram's worth to anyone, to the believers or the disbelievers. So it ties back on, do justice, you'll be dealt with justice. You do injustice, you will still be dealt with justice. But the justice for injustice is not something to take lightly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this, that this is the end of the disbelievers and the believers in the hereafter for what they used to do. Among them, cheating people in trade, taking the rights of people, shortchanging people, ridiculing, denying the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opposing the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laughing and ridiculing the believers. All of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will come to nothing because there are consequences. And we have to know that there are consequences not just in the hereafter. There are consequences of all of our actions in the dunya. Good for good, bad for bad. Every single action has consequences. And there is one hadith that has something relevant to this about the consequences in the dunya of our actions, where the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that there are five sins in this one particular hadith, that there are five sins for which there are five consequences. And he's not talking about in the akhirah, he's talking about consequences that we experience in the dunya. For example, he said that the person who breaks, if you break your word, Allah's law is, he will allow your enemy to gain control over you. Just remember. Now look at the state of the believers, and then you will see some of these. Then he said that the person who abandons observing the haram, what Allah has made haram, and wants to do whatever they want, their desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict them with poverty. Then he says that those who indulge in promiscuity and illegal intergender relationships outside the bond of nikah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law is that in this dunya, they will be afflicted by diseases and epidemics. And we've had examples of that, like the AIDS and things like that came before. And again, we don't know what this current pandemic is as a result. And then is the relevant one to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that those who cheat, shortchange others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will subject them to deprivation and to famine. No produce. The earth will stop producing for them. And then he said, those who stop paying zakat, Allah will withhold rain. So there are consequences that are specified. These are laws that Allah made. We call them laws of nature. They are laws of Allah in nature. And there's another hadith in which there is a sixth thing that's added, that those who indulge in usury, riba, interest-based financing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be widespread mortality and killing. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that there are consequences in the dunya and the ultimate consequences in the hereafter. Lesson for me is to have yaqeen in my meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment, the accountability, that the records will be there in which nothing is hidden. So what kind of a record do I want to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What record do I want to be witness to myself when I stand in front of Rabbil Alameen, which I will? So let us prepare our records that we will be happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the hadith says, the one who looks forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks forward to meeting him. And the one who doesn't want to look forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't want to meet him. Why? Because he is afraid of what he is bringing. So let us prepare ourselves for this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, it could be today. It could be tomorrow. Because we don't know how quickly, how many people, every week we hear now, as we get older especially,